I have a few minutes, and I'm going to turn you, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. We're in a season of preparation, and most of you have received a letter from the church regarding preparedness, and particularly crisis preparedness, hurricane season preparedness, and storm or natural disaster preparations that we are encouraging you at this time to take seriously. We know that every year around hurricane season, we are encouraged by our by local agencies, emergency agencies, as well as federal emergency agencies, to be prepared for a storm, for blackouts, or being without power, or being unable to get water or food or whatever for up to a couple of weeks, and potentially having stocks and supplies on hand to be able to evacuate your home and be and have all your needs met for 3 days. So we're encouraging you at this time to do that. Our reasons are not quite the same. We have a sense of urgency from the Lord that as a family we need to be prepared, and we're encouraging all of you to do that. So you should have received a letter about that. If you did not receive a letter about that, please let me know. I have a few left in the back. If you're online and you didn't receive that, you can go to our website, livinghopefamilychurch.com, and Greg will soon have that letter available for you up there. I'm catching Greg nodding at the back. We'll have that letter available for you there. It's also included in that is just a little checklist from one of the federal agencies on how to prepare an emergency kit. But the reason why we're telling you that is because we sense that the Lord is warning us just to be ready, and so that in a time of crisis, we will not be in survival mode, but that we will be in ministry mode, able to minister to the people around us, whether it be people of our own congregation or people in the general community around us. And we want to make our preparations both physically and spiritually, just to be ready to give an account for our faith and to share the goodness and the love of God with other people in times of difficulty. So right now, the focus of the stuff I'm talking about here on Sundays has been preparedness, spiritual preparedness in particular. Last week, I read from Luke chapter 6. Today, I'm reading a little from Luke chapter 7. And I'm going to use the story, but we're going to look at it through the lens of spiritual preparedness. So that might be a little of a stretch for you with this particular passage, but I want to hopefully see if we can superimpose perhaps that lens over the top of it and see how we might learn some things in this context. I understand that that is not the best theological practice, but based on our just our current awareness, I think that it's okay for us to read the text and to see if anything in the text can maybe point us in the right direction with regard to preparedness. So let's read together Luke chapter 7, verse 1. After he, that is Jesus, had finished his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. That's a little town, a village on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Now, a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. A little side note, a centurion would be a military commander. And when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." Just to pause for a moment, the centurion would most likely have been a Gentile, not a Jewish person. So whether he was a Roman or not, we don't know. That information isn't given to us. We do know that the Romans had garrisons all over Judea and over Galilee and so forth at the time. He may have been a mercenary. We don't know if he was there working under Herod the Tetrarch, or he was there as a Roman soldier. We don't know. But what we do know is that he was a Gentile. The Gentiles and the Jews didn't mix together well. There were some differences there because of religion, but also there was some discrimination. The Romans saw themselves as kind of the chosen people of the world, the considered themselves to be the most prominent, and the Jewish people considered themselves to be the chosen people of God. And so the two didn't mix together well. But this fellow had a real heart for the Jewish nation, so much so that he took of his own funding, his own money, and he built a synagogue for these people, built a church building for them. which is a significant gift to a community. So he's a really nice guy, and he's obviously well loved by these Jewish folk, and that's why they come to Jesus saying, "Jesus, this man, he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile, but he's worthy because of the wonderful things that he has done." So verse 6, and Jesus went with them. Apparently they persuaded Jesus, and he went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you." Just pause for a moment, just so you understand the story. This fellow knew enough about Jewish culture to recognize that to have a Gentile welcoming a Jew into his house may seem hospitable to you and to me, but for the Jew, it would have been unclean. Interestingly enough, not so much so for the people who were the rulers of the synagogue at the time, because they clearly were his friends, and they didn't mind meeting with this particular Gentile, but he recognized that Jesus may not feel the same way. And so in order not to offend Jesus or to make him ceremonially unclean, he says, "Listen, don't bother coming to my house. I don't need you to come to my house, and I'm not asking you to make yourself unclean. However, I am going to request something of you." So this man is already showing a tremendous deference and a real honor and respect for this Jewish rabbi, Jesus. "I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." That's quite a statement, isn't it? As we pause there for reflection, here's the centurion who clearly understands something about Jesus that not many people do at this point. He recognizes that Jesus has authority. And he recognizes that Jesus doesn't have authority of his own, but Jesus has been given authority by somebody even greater. He's recognizing that Jesus represents the greatest authority in the universe, God. Now, he couldn't know at that time, and we barely understand how, but do know at this point that Jesus and God are the same. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one, and yet three persons. It's a mystery. Nevertheless, Jesus is God. He is God made flesh. So this centurion, by faith, understands something that most people at that time did not. That Jesus came in the authority of God. And as God made flesh, he was able to speak a word and heal people. How amazing is that? How did this Gentile centurion ever come to such faith? Well, as it turns out, Jesus was pretty impressed by this as well. Let's have a look and see what Jesus says. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Jesus did what was asked of him, and he did even better. The centurion asked that the servant be healed. But Luke tells us the servant wasn't just healed, he was well. The same story is told in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew and Luke tell the same stories in many places. This is one of those that appears in the Gospel of Matthew as well. Matthew says that the servant was healed. But Luke, who as it turns out was a physician, he notes that he was more than healed, he was well. We know that Ethan has been healed, but he's not quite well yet. Well, my brother, we're going to speak the word over you. Say the word, Jesus, and Ethan will be well. As it turns out, there are some things about this that we can learn in terms of spiritual preparedness. I believe that in a time of crisis, a lot of people are going to need Jesus to heal them. And there'll be some people around us that we wouldn't necessarily have known had faith at all, but they will. They may be good people. They may have done wonderful things for their community. They may be philanthropists. They may be kind and generous to others. It's possible to be kind and generous and philanthropic, but not know the Lord. It is possible to be a really good person that everybody admires, that the entire community would even rally around and say, whoa, look at this person. They deserve to have Jesus come to their house, but not actually know Jesus. Being good, while it's a wonderful thing, it's not the same as having faith. At the end of this chapter, chapter 7, there's another story that's told, and we don't have time to look at it right now, but you'll have to take my word on this. The woman that's talked about at the end of the chapter doesn't have the same kind of reputation. In fact, she has a really bad reputation. So much so that everybody seems to know her story. And it's one of those stories that makes your ears tingle. No doubt, people love to gossip about this woman. But she came to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus reached out and healed her also. She was forgiven her sins, a greater healing than the healing of the sick. And Jesus loved her just as much as he loved the centurion. And by the way, the centurion's servant. Because Jesus loves us all. I want you to know that it is possible to be good and not to know Jesus. It is possible to have a really bad reputation and still find forgiveness in him. I want to encourage you not to put your faith and your trust in your own goodness. And when you're out there preparing for how to respond to people in time of crisis, do not let their goodness or their badness intimidate you. Know this, that Jesus loves them all and wants to reach them all. And so, it is important for us to recognize that God is able to reach them through us. This centurion never met Jesus. I doubt that he was ever present when Jesus did miracles. He heard about Jesus from other people. As part of our preparation for time of crisis, we need to be good at telling our story, the story of how Jesus worked in our lives, worked miracles, how he brought us out of darkness and into light. Your testimony doesn't have to be polished. You don't have to have the very best testimony that's better than everybody else's. You don't have to convince people with the most robust or scary or powerful or nail-biting story. You just need to tell your story. Any story will do. If it glorifies the Lord and tells people about what he did for you and how wonderful he is, somewhere along the line, somebody's going to hear that story and it's going to sit with them. And in a time of need, they're going to remember your story. And they're going to say, "Ha! I remember how that person told a story. What if God would do that for me?" It wasn't until the centurion's servant was really, really sick that he reached out to Jesus. Sometimes we need to know that it takes a time of crisis before people reach out, even good people. A time of crisis is a great time to be ready with a story. Hopefully, your story will already have been told many times over to your neighbors and your relatives and your friends and strangers even. Don't be afraid to tell a good story to strangers. People need good news. Right now the world is so full of bad news. You tell your good news story to as many people as you can, whoever will listen. And know this, that God can use that. At the right time, that person will say, "Where is that Jesus that I heard about?" I love the fact that this man had such faith that he could say, "Jesus, you don't even need to be here. You can just say the word." That helps me a lot in a time where we're not able to be in each other's homes and we're not allowed to travel all over the world and stuff. We've got people online. Well, I'm not going to see you in a hurry. It's going to be a long time before we get to hang out and spend time together, and we may never get to do that. But I want you to know that Jesus is with you as he is with me, and he can just say the word. That same Jesus is here with us today. And we can call upon him and say, "Lord, just say the word." As it turns out, the centurion sent his friends to Jesus on his behalf. He himself didn't go, but his friends went on his behalf. What kind of a friend are you? Will you take somebody's request to God for them? In a time of crisis, let's become really good at intercessory prayer. Let's become really good at carrying other people's needs to Jesus. If somebody says, "Yeah, would you pray for me?" it's probably because they don't feel worthy for Jesus to come under their roof. Now, that's not true. He's willing to come into anybody's life at any time, but they may not know that yet. You can certainly tell them, but you know what? Help them. Help them by carrying their request to Jesus for them. And I think that all Jesus needs to do is speak the word, and they will be healed. In a time of crisis, as we prepare spiritually, let us prepare ourselves in prayer. Let us prepare ourselves to be spiritual warriors, as it were, prayer warriors on behalf of others. Let's carry their needs to the Lord and say, Lord, speak the word, and our friends will be healed, and their friends will be healed. Well, I don't have any more time today. I'm out of time with the sermon, but I think it's enough. I think it's enough for you to chew on for a few minutes, maybe for a few hours, maybe for the whole week. Think about how God might use you and prepare yourselves during this time. As it turns out, Jesus was most certainly a man under authority. And he commands his servants, go and they go and stay and they stay. We should be ready to hear the voice of the Lord, and we should listen to his command because he is our commander in chief. But I also want you to know that that same authority that Jesus had, he has in fact extended to us. By the presence of his Holy Spirit in us, he has given us authority also to take his word on our lips as if he himself is speaking it. And we can speak the word of God as if God himself were saying these things and know that the word of the Lord never returns void. It never fails. It always accomplishes that which it is set out to do. So I encourage you to become well prepared with the word of the Lord. Know the word of God so that you can speak the word of God. Know the word of God so that you can, in faith, speak the word of God into situations that need Christ's healing. My friends, prepare your hearts. A season of darkness comes for the world, but we are not afraid of these things, for he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And he has overcome the world, and we need not fear. But prepare your hearts and be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready and prepared to share Christ with the world. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that by your grace, our hearts would be lit on fire, that we would not be the same anymore, that you would stir up zeal within us. Come, Holy Spirit, may it be said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts has done it. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.